Lesson started last week. In that lesson, I pointed out that our trivial as well as our profound experiences in life, the daily things that we experience, they solicit, they bring out of us responses, reaction. Some of these responses or reaction represent Christ-likeness, represent positive spiritual qualities. But some of these responses or reaction represent things that are not pleasing to God. The COVID is soliciting from us daily responses. We have to be off the street earlier than some of us want to. There are places we want to go and we are reluctant because of the long line. There are places we want to go also that we are afraid because of the congestion that we are going to experience. There are so many areas that many of us are conscious of the not just possibility, but the likelihood of us being infected when we do not even know how, from whom, and all of that. We live with those consciousness because of the COVID. So as we respond and react, some of these responses or reaction are Christ-like, others are not Christ-like. Run to just start a verse or two, and it's a lesson we all know. Luke chapter 10, from verse 29. Luke chapter 10, from verse 29.
But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho,
mm-hmm.
and fell among thieves,
mm-hmm.
which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him,
mm-hmm.
and departed, leaving him half dead.
Mm-hmm.
And by chance, there came down a certain priest that mm-hmm. way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
But a certain Samaritan, as he
stop there. This passage is read to show how in our daily, going about our daily businesses, we are confronted with things that some of them are trivial, some of them are profound. Watch here. Here are three people who were going about their businesses, and they something confront them. You have the priest, he just went about his business because you and I traveling and see a lady purse being snatched by a thief. In many cases, would we take a look and a second look and we stay far. We don't want to get involved. You see, it's not our business. That's what probably some of us would think. My point is, as an illustration using this, is that these three people pass. And I have no doubt that the Levi and the priests, the religious people, didn't have to go far before probably they forget that. They have other things to think about. But a Samaritan who's supposed not to know God responded. The point is, brothers and sisters, our lives, daily lives, take on this type of connotation, this shape, where there are experiences that confront us, incidents that either leave us better in the sight of God or leave us worse in the sight of God. And this is why we are looking on how will the COVID leave you. Run to the book of Judges, chapter 1, verse 18 through 19. And after that is read whole chapter 2. Judges, chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Let us hear it.
Also Judah took Gaza.
Also Judah took Gaza. That's a Philistine city.
With the coast thereof.
With the coast.
And Ashkelon.
And he took Ashkelon. That's another Philistine city.
With the coast thereof.
Now that's a strategic. Because when they took the coast, the seaside, for shipping and other thing, they have access with the coast thereof. Read on.
And the Ekron.
And Ekron.
With the coast thereof.
Uh-huh.
And the Lord was with Judah.
Watch here. And the Lord was with Judah.
And he drove out the inhabitants of the mountain.
And that is Judah drove out the inhabitants of the mountain.
But could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley.
Watch here now. But could not. Brother, you have just read, but that God was with Judah. Haven't you read that somewhere there?
Yes.
And it says Judah, in effect, succeeded in driving out the inhabitants of the mountain. But
could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley.
Of the valley. Why?
Because they had chariots of iron.
Because they had chariot of iron. Wait. Is it that God is not strong enough to deal with chariot of iron? Because if you read these two verses, it's like it's implying that. You have just read. Is it verse 19 I said, or verse 18 was the first verse?
Verse 18.
Well, verse 18 told us that God was with Judah. And Judah took this city, and he took this city, and he took this city. Then you come up on 19 where he could not drive out these inhabitants because they have chariot of iron. But God can deal with the chariot of iron. You see, to understand these two verses, you must turn to chapter 2 and verses 20 through 23. It's a point I'm making. Let us hear 20 through 23, the same Judges.
And the anger of the Lord.
And the anger of the Lord.
Was hot against Israel.
Was hot against Israel.
And he said.
And he said,
because that people, this people has transgressed my covenant.
Because this people have transgressed the agreement that I had with them. That's a covenant. And when there is an agreement, a will, an agreement between two people.
My covenant which I commanded their fathers. And have not hearkened unto my voice.
They have not listened to my voice.
I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them.
Wait. Be with me now. Driving, don't move from the passage. Driving out here is telling us that the victory that Israel had against the Gentiles as they marched toward the promised land, the Almighty God was with them in these victories. But Brother Mitchell, we have just read in chapter 1, 18, 19, that they were unable to take these inhabitants because of the chariot of iron. Read on further in chapter 2 where you are, brother.
I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died.
Wait. What it is implying here is that those nations that Joshua failed to subdue and conquer was no accident. What verse are you?
End of 21.
Read on.
That through them I may prove Israel, whether they will keep the way of the Lord to walk therein, as their fathers did keep it.
You all get the drift here? It was no accident that Judah was unable to conquer the inhabitants of the valley. It's not the chariot of iron that limit God's strength. The Almighty God purposely left these Gentile nation to do what you have just read it, you know. To prove them.
Amen.
Read on a little further.
Therefore, the Lord left those nations.
Who did it?
The Lord left those nations.
Wait, hold it, brother. When we read in chapter 1, verse 18, 19, about Judah unable to conquer the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariot of iron, it was not saying that God is weak against chariot of iron. That's why I said to understand that passage in chapter 1, 18, 19, you have to come to chapter 2, where the brother is now. God purposely left these Gentile nations to test. Did I say test? To examine. Did I say examine? To prove Israel. Could the COVID be one of those things that God either sent, brought, or permitted? I purposely use those words that you may not go and say, Brother Mitchell, say God sent the virus. He might not have sent it, but he might have allowed it and using it to test his people. That is to let what is inside of us genuinely come out. Are we all there? Things are either permitted by God or initiated by God to test us or to bring out the true you and the true me. Are we all there? Both negative things and positive things. the experiences we have in life, they help us to know ourselves and help the Almighty God to see what's coming up. A passage that was read last week, that is a great passage for Christians to keep in mind, is the one found in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 8 through 10. Great passage. A passage that Christians should always remember, that the Christian, as we go through this life, we are going to have negative and positive experiences. Let us hear it. Quick.
We are troubled.
We are troubled.
On the every side.
On every side.
Yet not distressed.
Yet not distressed.
We are perplexed.
We are perplexed. There are things we do not understand. We do not have the answer. We do not have the right explanation. But we are perplexed.
But not in despair.
But we are not in despair. We do not throw our hands up in the air hopelessly. Read on.
Persecuted.
We are persecuted.
But not forsaken.
But we are not forsaken. Even when we are persecuted, we should remember that God has not forsaken us. Read on.
Cast down.
We are cast down.
But not destroyed.
May I? This is not in reference to every Christian, you know. This is talk about men and women who, through ups and downs, determine that they are going to hold on to Jesus' coattail. That's right. How we respond or react to these everyday life experiences, be they negative or positive, is that which produce the better or the worse in us. Going through the COVID, has it diminished your faith and commitment? Does it make you look for ways where you can shortchange the Almighty God in areas like worship? Last week on this lesson, I mentioned that because part of our effort to teach and to fellowship, if it can be called that, is we use the online services that is available. But I mentioned that I have no doubt that at the end of the day, many Christians are going to use online service not only as a substitute, but as a replacement for biblical congregational fellowship. Now, as we're going to examine this morning some passages, brothers and sisters, the Almighty God never intend for worship to be a remote experience. That's right. Let us look at Hebrews chapter 10, 24-25. Let us have that passage. Read.
And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves.
Wait. Let us consider one another to provoke. The word provoke means to encourage. It means to excite one another to love and to good works. One part says, as you see the day approaching, and from all likelihood, it is not the day of judgment and the consideration there, it's the Lord's day. The day, as you see the day approaching, it's talk about the Lord's day. It says we must find ways to encourage one another to love and to good works. Read on.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together.
You hear that? Now, this is a command. You must not stay away from the assembly. Can that be put another way? Yes. You must not stay away from church worship. Read on.
As the manner of some is.
Wait, you notice? Human nature is the same. Even way back then, when Christianity just got started, there were some Christians not treating congregational worship with the respect that it ought to and the reverence that it called for. So Paul is saying to Christians, don't ever take the bad example of those Christians who have no regard for the Lord's Day worship. As you see the day approaching. Notice, in fact, let's run to some other passages. 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 20. Let us hear it.
Know in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better.
Wait. You get what I just got here? Christians were coming together. No, I can stay at my home and worship God just the same way. That's your thing. May I? Did you know that private devotion in the privacy of our home never take the place of congregational fellowship? Never. One was never meant to take the place of the other. Do you have private devotion in your home every day? Don't ever let Satan use that to deceive you. That sins. For the 7 days a week, you have private devotion. You read God's word, you study, you sing, you pray. And then when Wednesday night or Sunday comes, you say, well, I have my devotion already. No. Did I say chapter 11, verse 17, brother? Read again, quick.
Knowing this, that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse.
Wait, here's something. You get what I got? When we come together like this, it should be for our spiritual betterment. That's what the passage. But the way, did I say the way? The way the Corinthians were doing it, it was they were worse off coming together because they were not coming together the way Jesus Christ intended for them to do it. You know what I noticed there too? That it is implying that the Almighty God watches how we worship. Read on, brother, read on.
For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you.
I want to comment on that. Move on.
When ye come together, therefore, into one place.
Where?
Into one place.
Where?
Into one place.
Brothers and sisters, it's not accident. In a few minutes, I'll be showing that Jesus Christ is the one who started first day of the week worship. Well, really, in a sense, the Almighty God have some religious activities under the Old Testament system for the Israelite that had to do with first day. But I'm not going to even get into that now. What you have just read, read it again.
When ye come together, therefore, into one place.
Into how many places?
One place.
You in your home, I in my home, Brother Norman in his home. Huh? When you come together, what this passage is doing is expressing God's intent for any local congregation in any community, that Christian meet together in one place. When you come together in one place.
This is not to eat the Lord's supper.
What that is implying, brother, is that the way they were coming together, the way, not the coming together, but the way they were doing it, they couldn't celebrate the Lord's Supper in that fashion. Read on.
For in eating, everyone take it before other mm-hmm. his own supper,
mm-hmm.
and one is hungry, and another is drunken.
Mm-hmm.
What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of
well,
God?
What this is implying, you do not come and take the Lord's Supper for a belly full. For a belly full, Paul said, do that at your home. This Lord's Supper is a memorial feast. And it had to be celebrated a particular way. In the same way Jesus Christ, watch here. Jesus Christ didn't have one apostle over here, around one table and one over here, and one over here, and one over here. No, all of them congregated around one table. When Christ celebrated, initiated the Lord's Supper. And this is God's intent for any local congregation, that we all meet around the one table. Read on. What verse are you, brother?
Verse 22.
Well, step to verse 33 and 34.
Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home.
You hear? Wait. When you come together, wait one for the other. You notice the oneness and the unity here? What it is saying? You don't treat God's table like your table at home. Huh? let me not use that as an illustration. Because you see, brother, sometimes if I'm watching something interesting on TV, I'll just, when Sister Michelle shows my dinner, I'll just take it in a tray and go upstairs. You see, I can do that at home. At my yard, at my table. But I cannot do that at Jesus' table. You have just read something there, brother, in verse 33. Read it again, quick.
Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another.
When ye come together, this eating mentioned there is the Lord's Supper. Wait one for the other. That is possible only in a congregational setting. So the business where many members will be tempted to let online staying at their yard become a replacement for coming out with other Christians, that will not serve the purpose for which God intend worship. When he come together, carry one for
another.
Another, verse 34.
And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest
you notice how many times the word come together is repeated. You notice that we can come together for the worse and we can come together for the better. Huh? All that is coming out. And the point here, brothers and sisters, the way we respond to the challenges that the COVID pose may leave us either better Christian or worse Christian. May we look on one or two more passages, in fact. Chapter 14, verse 16. Quick. Same Corinthians. Chapter 14, verse 16.
Mm-hmm. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen?
Wait, do you notice that in this very thing that has just been stated, it's talking about a congregational setting? When you bless with the Spirit, when you give God thanks, the person who is acknowledged that will respond with amen must be a part of that audience. It's a congregational setting. That's verse 16 you have just read. Yes, step down, 16. Brother, to verse 23 through 25.
If therefore the whole church be come together in one place.
Wait, you notice the whole church, and this means the congregation within that community or that city. If the whole church be come together. Where?
Into one place.
20 different places.
Into one place.
50 different places.
No, one place.
This is talking about any local congregation. Where God expects the members of that local congregation to assemble, to come together regularly. Amen. With all the challenge that COVID presents, let us not let COVID lead us to hell. Amen. Read on, brother.
And all speak with tongues.
Mm-hmm.
And there come into those that are unlearned or unbelievers.
They're coming in. What to talk about? Just like we are here. We have visitor. Eh? They're come in those who are unlearned.
Or unbelievers.
They are unbelievers. Either new Christians or men and women who have not yet become Christian. If they attend worship, when the whole church come together and that is the entire congregation meet, the Almighty God expect the entire congregation, every person who consider him herself a member of that congregation, are to meet every time the church meet.
Amen.
Let's not talk about Carl Mitchell belief. That's what the Bible is here teaching. Read on.
And there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers. Will they not say, ye are mad?
You see, here it's implying that we must never conduct service so that the unbeliever or the new convert think that we are off our rocker, that we are crazy people. Service must be carried on orderly, decently, intelligently. Mm-hmm.
But if all prophesy.
And notice there. All prophesy. Brother Mitchell, but are you alone that do the preaching? Read that further.
But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all.
Read on.
And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest.
Mm-hmm.
And so falling down on his face, he will worship God, and
you know, this is a powerful passage in that this passage shows when we meet as we now do, and when all are focused on the lesson, and when all are a part of the lesson, that's why it uses the word all. You may say, well, it says if all prophesy. Brother Mitchell, usually it's one person who do the preaching or teaching. Yes, but you are an active part of it. In many cases, your activity is seen by your intelligent amen. What do you mean by intelligent amen? When you amen is to give confirmation, agreement to any divine truth or any truth that is expressed. And it amen shows that you are there with the lesson. You are a part of the lesson. The very passage tells, how shall he say amen if he doesn't understand? And this is talk about a congregational setting that God expects. What is being said here could never relate to a remote setting. What verse are you, brother?
Verse 25.
You read it already?
He will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth.
That's right. And remember here, what we're giving here is how when every person is a part of the worship activities. May I? In Corinthians 11:21, 20:21 and 33, you must note the oneness, the togetherness, as against the division that if you are not careful because of the COVID, we think that's what God wants us to do. Stay home conveniently. Another area that we have to watch for is not only replacing the congregational biblical worship with remotely staying at home conveniently. Another area we must be mindful of is because of the restriction that after certain hours we can't be on the street. For many weeks or months we are unable to have night services. What we as Christians have to be careful is that when things get back to normal, God's willing, you may have Christians beginning to feel that Sunday night service is not that important. Are we all there? It is unnecessary and it is not important. Note the implication of Hebrews 10:25. Run to it for me again, brother. Hebrews 10:25.
Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more.
As you see the day approaching.
Yeah.
May I? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Which of them, Brother Mitchell, must we not forsake? Because you may have Sunday morning, you have Sunday night, you have Wednesday night, and then we have men's class, we have ladies' class, we have YPG, Which of them, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together? It is striking that the passage, let me back up. The Lord's day, Jesus Christ set the stage. I don't know if time will permit me, probably not, to give 5 examples of scriptural Lord's Day setting. We are starting with Jesus Christ setting the stage. But what I'm saying, a person might become a smart aleck and say, well, Brother Mitchell, can't I attend one service and God is pleased with that? When the Bible says, forsake not, remember, it is worded. It is a command. It's worded negatively. Don't do this. Don't stay away from the assembly. The word forsake, don't abandon the assembly. Which one? It means any of the assembly, any time the church meet to give glory to God, every child of God is expected by God to be there. That's why it leave it there open. Forsake not the assembling of yourself. Which one? All the assembling of yourself together. Do you want me to go to the book of Acts of the Apostles, where it doesn't talk about weekly, but it talks about daily? Huh? Daily. I'm tempted to give you 2 passages, and that is in reference to the disciples. Acts 2:46, 17, 11. We'll not read them. May I? There's a point I want to raise here, and I'll be making a few points and close the lesson. I'll be going through this a little fast because time. Well, Brother Mitchell, it's God's time. Amen. It was Jesus Christ himself who started or initiated the weekly coming together, meeting with one another and fellowshipping with one another. This Christ initiated started after his resurrection. Many people might think, well, it's just some Christian in the first century started this. No, Jesus Christ. After Jesus' resurrection, Jesus Christ assembled up on a certain large day, Thomas being absent. Run to that quick, brother. I want to leave these passages with you. John 20, 19 through 20. Quick.
John 20?
Yes, 19 through 20.
Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week.
When?
When the doors were
wait,
shut.
Wait, brother, what day?
The first day of the week.
That is Sunday, brother. That's right. Everybody hear that? What happened?
When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them.
Jesus Christ found himself there, if for no other reason, to give them blessing and encouragement. That's a Sunday. This is after his resurrection, where he did not make his appearance to many after his resurrection. Thomas was absent from this gathering. Read, brother.
and said unto them, peace be unto you.
Peace be unto you.
And when he had so said, he shewed unto them his hands and his side.
That is to reinforce their faith that he is the Christ. He is resurrected. Amen. Verse 24.
But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came.
Now, every time you miss service, you miss something that God intend for you. Because Thomas, had he been here, his faith would have been reinforced. Step down, brother, to the same 20, this time 26 through 28, and you hold it. May I? So we have seen the first case where Christ met with them on a large day. Then again, the following Sunday. Did I say the following Sunday? Yes! The following Sunday. But Brother Mitchell, couldn't that be coincidence? Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, does nothing by coincidence. It's always premeditative and planned. Then the following Sunday, or the following large day, Thomas now present Jesus Christ again, assembly with them. Let us hear verse 26 through 28.
And after 8 days, again his disciples were with him.
After 8 days, that's another Sunday. The following Sunday, his disciples
were with him, and Thomas with them.
Mm-hmm.
Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you.
You notice every time he met with them, he brought peace. The peace that only God can give. Worship is important. Peace be unto you. Read.
Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger.
Here now he is reinforcing Thomas' belief. Because Thomas wanted proof that Christ was in fact resurrected. No, don't be too hard on Thomas. That's right. That makes sense. I want to be sure. You see, this is the second incident. Then when we turn to a passage like Acts of the Apostles chapter 20 verse 7. Up on the first day of the week. Is that what your Acts 20 verse 7? I'm running through them. Let us hear it quick. Acts 27.
And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread.
You all hear that? When the disciples came together, it's not to eat a meal, you know. The breaking of bread, they refer to the Lord's Supper. Here again, it's a Sunday meeting. Then could I go to the fourth one? In the book of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 16, 2.
Upon the first day of the week.
Wait. You notice we're here in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20. He talk about upon the first day of the week. Then again, in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 16, verse 2, upon the first. Why the Bible keep emphasizing the first day of the week? And it is always in reference to worship. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you put some offering aside for the poor saints in Jerusalem. That is this one. That is that one. That's 1 Corinthians 16, 2. Then James chapter 2, verse 2 and 4. Quick, brother. Quick.
For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring.
Wait. If there come unto, it's really into your assembly. That's James. Do you notice the implication? James is indicating that regular public assemblies were held by the church and it was open for visitors to come in. Brother Michelio didn't let the brother finish reading. Read. For
if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel.
We have met for worship and there come in some people just ordinary dress and attire. And then there come in a man with his 3-piece suit or 6-piece suit, whatever. And then we start reverencing the one who attire. What he's saying in the worship, in fact, at no time should Christian show this type of using material things to show regards to people. We must respect every person, whatever the person's economic, social, or financial status is, but especially in the worship. And what James is implying is that the church used to have regular worship. And he's giving instruction in respect to how we ought not to behave. As we close, I share this fact with you as we close. In A.D. 112, that's little after the book of Revelation was written, you have Pliny. He was not a Christian or a religious person. He was a secular writer of the time. Pliny was making a report to the Emperor Trajan, one of the emperors of Rome. And he unconsciously gave witness to the faithfulness and the tenacity of the Christian in reference to regular worship. Pliny, in effect, said, they, the Christian, attended the regular worship service. Notice this, in spite of hindrances and obstacles. In that writing to Trajan by Pliny, he said, reminded the emperor, meeting legally on a publicly recognized day of rest was not possible. The Christians were not permitted to gather together. And that which was recognized as a public holiday for people to rest, they were not. He said the Christian met in the darkness of pre-dawn assemblies, in the midst of inconveniences and personal danger. This is a man who is not a Christian. He's a man making a report to one of the emperors of Rome what was going on in his community and bringing the empire up to date, showing the determination of the Christian to meet for worship even when obstacles were put in their way. As we close, don't let Satan use the COVID to provide opportunity that you come out of it a weaker Christian, less faithful, less committed, Don't try to find ways to shortchange God in any form or shape. How will the COVID leave you at the end of the day? May the Almighty God, through Jesus Christ, help that you be found faithful, committed, and a better Christian at the end of the day than when the COVID began. Remember, every little experience we have, our response, reaction, can either be Christ-like, showing conviction, or it can be unchrist-like. Let us always remember that. If you are here today, if you are a man or a woman wanting to give your life to Jesus Christ, yes, you can come today believing in Christ as your Lord Savior. You can come making up your mind to repent of your sin. You can come making up your mind to confess Christ's name. And come making up your mind to be baptized so that the Almighty God can remove your sin. As we stand.